So you see, being the greatest in the eyes of this world is not how the Bible wants us to behave. So Jesus said to the disciples, he said, the one who is greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. And he said, furthermore, you are not to lord it over the brethren. You are not to exercise authority over them for your own personal use. You are not to merchandise them. You are not to take advantage of them. But you are to feed the flock. You are to serve the brethren. So let's read the qualifications that we have here in 1 Timothy 3 before we have an ordination of an elder. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. Faithful is this saying, if a man aspires to be an overseer, he desires a good work. Now then, it is obligatory. That means it's mandatory. It's necessary that the overseer be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, serious-minded, respectable, hospitable, skilled in teaching. Happy to say that our elders are skilled in teaching and growing in that ability. Not given to much wine, not a bully, not greedy of selfish gain, but kind, not a quarreler, nor a lover of money. One who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all respect, that is, unless they're all grown up and on their own. And we've been coming here about, 14 years now, somewhere around there, and I've seen the families grow, and Marlon Fannin has done a great job with his family and been an exemplary elder and serving the brethren, as well as been Roger Kendall and all of the other elders. But I saw Tom this morning, his son, and his son's daughters are about full grown. And I looked at him, and he's got his hair cut real short. And I looked at him, and I said, I wonder if there's any gray hair up there. I said, yeah, it's coming. So you see, over time, we grow, we change, we overcome. We serve, we help. That's why it says that, for if a man does not know how to rule his own household, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, not someone newly come to the faith, lest he become conceited and fall into the same condemnation as the devil. It is mandatory that he also have a good report from those who are outside the church. In other words, he's also respected by the community, he's respected by those that he works with, etc., and so that he doesn't fall into reproach. Now, Marlon recommended that you need an elder here in this area. And so I appreciate his recommendation. And we also verify with the brethren, because the brethren know the men much better than someone at a far distance. And so, first of all, we are going to have Marlon and Roger come forward, and we're going to lay hands on Roy Mack and ordain him as an elder. So if you all three will come forward, please.
You all bow your heads. Almighty Father in heaven above, we come to you grateful and thankful for working in Roy's life and with his wife, Marie. We thank you for their love, their service, their dedication to you in word and in truth and in action, and he fully qualifies to be an elder. And we realize that he is humbled with this. So we ask that you give him the spirit of strength and courage, that you'll intervene with him, with his life, and serving the brethren. So we lay hands on him now and ordain him as an elder in this area to serve your people, to teach them, to help them, to comfort them, to be with them, Father, and to set the example, but also to stand for the truth, to guard the doctrine, to guard the righteousness of your word. So we just, with this laying on of hands, commit it into your hands, and we do so in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for certainly knowing Roy and his wife for close to 40 years probably, and we certainly have seen over the years his continual service, Father, as he served the brethren, and we thank you, Father, that we've prayed about it, fasted about it. Father, you've made it known that truly that you are setting him apart for this office. So we just thank you, Father. Be with him and strengthen me and Marie and help them, Father, as they serve, continue to serve the brethren, but now with more responsibility, a capacity, Father, that he hasn't known before. So just give him that strength and help and help us all to hold up his hands if we can, and Father, just be with him. We thank you for him, Marie, and we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That was not my back. Now also, we have another situation that arises, and this situation that comes about is this. From time to time, there are elders who have served in other churches of God. And of course, someone sends them something from Christian Biblical Church of God, or gives them a message, or gives them a book, or gives them a Bible. And they become convicted of the truth, and they leave the organization that they have been associated with before. And in that case, we give a space of time to understand whether the man is an elder indeed. Because, as you know, many have been ordained elders who were never really, really elders, because they didn't do it the way that the Bible said. Too many were political appointments. And so what we do in cases like this, when a man has proved himself, proved by the qualifications, proved by his ability to teach, proved by the conduct of his life that he is truly an elder, then we reaffirm his eldership. And we do that with the laying on of hands. So if Marlon and Roger could come forward again, we will reconfirm Wendell Urey's eldership. We're living in very unusual times. I remember, it's been, I was baptized in 1960. Woo, 52 years. Okay. And we were all excited because we had anticipated the return of Christ in a very few years. And we really thought, so all you old timers there with gray hairs like I have, I can see you shaking your head. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. We even had the spot picked out where we would avoid the tribulation. And we even had our escape boxes, you know, first aid kit, Bible, medicines, you know, even your vitamins. But if you get into the wilderness, there's no place you can buy them. Okay. Now, I don't know if we're going to eat manna if we get there, but I think for the majority of us, as we look at the world around us, there's a whole lot more time than we have ever anticipated. And most of us will be in a place of safety in the grave. And I mentioned to someone yesterday, we'll be pushing up cardboard. So what do you mean by that? I said, because my wife, Dolores, said when she dies, she doesn't want an expensive casket, just go to the appliance store and get a carton that, from a refrigerator. But nevertheless, the end of the age is going to come. And it's going to be far different than we have anticipated. Not that we have been wrong, but we have not understood the magnitude of how these events are going to be. Or the magnitude of how men are going to grow and develop. Who would have ever thought when we first heard the World Tomorrow program on a radio station, and almost everyone here listened to WWVA, and then after a while there were radio stations everywhere and you could hear it 3 or 4 or 5 times a day. But who would have ever thought that now you can have everything in your palm of your hand, wherever you are in the whole world, 24/7. Could never have guessed. Now, we're confronted with some things. Someone asked me the question, what is the mandate for the end time church of God? We have a mandate right from the scriptures. Now, in Revelation 2 and 3, but rather than turn to it, we have a unique prophecy. We have direct letters. Now, I want you to all study Revelation 2 and 3 of the seven churches, because we have something very, very unique, which is this. These are direct letters from Christ to the church, meaning the brethren and all those who serve. And in there are many warnings about what happens if you lose your first love, if you follow the ways of trying to organize the church the way that Satan organizes his religious system, or if you start bringing in false doctrines or allowing people to teach within the congregation those things that are not right. And even in the church of Thyatira, he said that as many as has not known the depths of Satan, I will put upon you no other burden. See, because Satan's objective is to come after and destroy those who have the Holy Spirit of God. So then he shows in those churches that we are not to have incomplete works, that we are not to be lukewarm, but rather we are to patiently keep the word of God. Now also this shows us something else. This shows us that because the churches have made mistakes and have not repented, see, that's the whole key. Every one of the churches, he says, repent, and to the one who overcomes. Now, when the churches have not made the corrections they need to, or they fight among themselves, then we end up with the first need in serving the brethren, and that is to help them be spiritually healed. And here's why. Because most of the churches make the mistake of not teaching the brethren to have a direct relationship between them and God the Father and Jesus Christ, but it is through the ministry. And that ends up in a problem that the brethren look to the ministers in place of God. Now, they may not think that they're doing that, but I'll tell you how that is manifested and made known. Remember, God told Pergamos, unless you repent, I will fight against you with the sword of my mouth, which means God would bring the correction. Christ would administer, because he's the head of the church. No man, no group of men. Now, we've all experienced what has happened when that correction comes, haven't we? And what is the first thing that happens because you have not put your trust in God the way that you should have? You become delusioned, right? Disillusioned, rather. And many people have just given up on God, walked away, forgot everything. Others have been hurt. Others have said, well, I'll never trust a minister again. Others have said, I never want to join another church. Well, those are the wounded. So the wounded in the churches of God need to be healed. So that's one thing that we need to do. And I know in the series that we have on the love of God, it was directed to those people. And the title of that sermon is, When All Else Fails, Remember, God Loves You. Because they've had all hope squished out of their lives because of the practices and teachings of ministers who were more concerned with rank and corporation and hierarchy than they were in serving the brethren. More concerned with their salaries than being concerned to stand for the truth in spite of your economic circumstances. A lot of you know those brethren, and I know that some of you have done an awful lot to help them heal. So we have that aspect of what we need to do, helping the church heal. Now we're going to begin seeing the same thing happening in the Protestant and Catholic churches of this world, especially the Protestants. Every survey that is done indicates that it is declining at a very precipitous rate. People are leaving in droves. Mega churches are being repossessed and foreclosed upon by the banks. Now, many of those people have not been hurt as badly as those in the Church of God. But nevertheless, give you an example. When Dolores came home from visiting our daughter and son-in-law in Temple, Texas, she was sitting on the plane reading the book, Pointed Times. The man sitting next to her saw that she was reading something about the Bible. So he struck up a conversation with her. And he said, "Well, I'm a Baptist." He said, "I'm tired of hearing lies when I go to church, so I quit." Well, Dolores, not Johnny on the spot, but Dolores on the spot. She said, "Well, here, I'll give you this book." He was grateful to it, and then she said, "Just a minute." So she got in her purse and pulled out a church at home card and said, "Go online. This will help you." So there are a lot of people out there in that condition. But I'll tell you one thing that it has done, which is very good. And we hear this constantly. Now, Jay and Marianne told me the same thing last night. They've checked us out for a year and a half. They have checked out other churches who've come. They have checked out, they've given up on all of the Protestants. Okay? So today, with the websites, with everything that we have, with Church at Home and cbcg.org, we have so many tools available. And this helps everyone to check their Bibles, check the Word of God, compare it with what is true, look at what is not right. And God is using that to help call a lot of people. Now, we have a man in Arcadia. Actually, he lives in Altadena, Southern California. And he used to work in the computer department of WCG. Now, they would run all kinds of computer tests and things like this concerning brethren. One of the tests was this. From the time that they ordered their very first piece of literature until they started attending church, what was that length of time? Average, 2 to 3 years. Now, we've had Church at Home up there for a little over 2 years now. And we have had, here in the last couple of months, 15 baptisms because of that. See? Because it's not what we do, but as I pointed out yesterday, here, let's go to Acts 18. Let's look at a scripture. Let's look at what God told Paul. Acts 18. And let's pick it up here in verse 3. He came to Corinth and he went with Priscilla and Aquila because of the same trade, verse 3. Now, verse 4. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath because to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. And notice what happened. And persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Now, when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was stirred in his spirit and was earnestly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they set themselves in opposition and were blaspheming, now just picture this in church, okay? Because a synagogue, much like a church. He shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads, I am pure of it. From this time forth, I go to the Gentiles." Now, how far did he leave? Let's read. And after departing from there, he went into the house of a certain one named Justus, who worshiped God, whose house adjoined the synagogue, right next door. Not only that, the unthinkable happened. But Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with his whole house, and many of the Corinthians who had heard believed and were baptized. Well, notice what God told Paul. And the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one shall set upon you, because I have many people in this city. See, what we do, even though it looks like we are initiating something, whatever we initiate, God has already prepared a way ahead. Every one of us experienced, didn't we? There was a time, and you can look back, bing, when God first began dealing in your life, correct? Yes. Now, of all that's going on out in the world, there are a lot of people that God is dealing with that we don't know anything about. And remember what God told Elijah? He said, look, don't come and moan and groan and cry in my ear here in this cave. He said, because I've reserved to myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now, how many people are out there in the world? And God has given the perfect vehicle. Now, I know, you know, Satan takes advantage of it, but that perfect vehicle is the internet. Everything we put on the internet is up there 24/7 in every time zone of the world. So we need to realize, as Jesus told the disciples, don't say there are yet 4 months to the harvest. Lift up your eyes. Look at the fields. They're white, ready to the harvest now. And then he said, the laborers are few, but the harvest is plenteous. Pray the Lord of the harvest for workers to go in to his field. So, brethren, I think we're right at that crossroad. Who knows how many people God has prepared. Now, I also say this. I'm not saying we're the only ones. My prayer for every single church of God and minister is that we all together repent and yield to God and preach the gospel and feed the flock and give a witness to the world. And just think how that would be powerful. You know, if you go to Bible Sabbath Association, you are going to find that there are 500 denominations of the Church of God. So pray for them. Christ is the head of them. Pray that they'll repent. Pray that the ministers will see the truth. Pray that the brethren will be taught to love God. See? We don't want to get into church wars. We don't want to get into fight over brethren, because as we're going to see, God has called every one of you to a great and fantastic purpose. And as Norbert brought out in his sermon, fantastic indeed. See? Now then, we also have the gospel to preach as a witness. So actually, this gives us two tracks that we must fulfill. One track, to serve the brethren, to serve those who are longtime members so they can grow in grace and knowledge, to serve those who are wounded in the churches of God. The other track is to help fulfill as God leads us, because he has paved the way and has many people in many places. And we fulfill that through church at home. And this is going to be much more important as we go down the road, because as time gets dangerous and money disappears and the cost of things skyrocket, church at home is where it's going to be. And that God will bless the efforts of church at home. Use that to call people. But for those who don't, it is a witness. We witness concerning the coming one world government. We witness concerning the coming one world banking system. We witness concerning the coming beast. We witness concerning the coming false prophet. And we don't hold back the truth, because as God told Paul, I am with you. No one's going to set upon you. So as long as we're wise as serpents and harmless as doves, we have got to be a witness to the world as well. We cannot play politics, we cannot pull the punches, but we have to be wise as to how we present it. So That answers the mandate as to what is the mandate for the Christian Biblical Church of God. And the two messages this morning support that and show what we need to be doing to love and serve God. So it's time for me to quit talking, and it's about time for a final hymn and prayer and lunch. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.